And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's 11:08 on a Sunday evening. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and this is program 38 in the series. And Lisa Wolf, who is my co-host, is not here today. She's in Florida. Mike, what do you think about that?
She's in Florida. She's having fun, but I think she's a little bit bored because she's working from Florida. She's checking up on Facebook and actually posting stuff.
She's actually doing something?
She is.
Wow. All right. So maybe I can't call her a slacker too much. I know she's listening to the show. She texted me, said I'm listening. I'm watching on the internet. She's watching the program. So hello, Lisa. Hello, Dan Wolf, her husband. And we have another Dan Long, our executive producer. Mike is our executive producer. Dan Long is our producer.
Yeah, I thought I got promoted.
Yeah. And how you doing, Dan? Everything good?
Yeah, hanging in there.
Good Christmas?
Pretty good.
All right, very good. And Mike Costello, our executive producer. You're sort of the co-host and executive producer tonight.
I do whatever I can for this program, and that includes cleaning up the radio shows, being here, and making sure everybody's on the ball with
everything. A man who wears many hats. You're sort of the Mad Hatter. Remember the Mad Hatter from the Batman television series?
I remember the Batman television series. I don't really remember his character so much,
Hatter, David Wayne. 1967 episode, David Wayne. If you, there's a little trivia there.
He wore a big mustache.
Yes,
didn't he
did.
Yeah,
that's
and had
right.
A very high top hat.
Roger
a blue,
remembers.
I think it was a blue, or was that the egg guy?
Oh,
wearing the
talking
blue
about
suit.
Egghead.
Yeah,
Egghead. And
Vincent
that was Vincent Price.
Price. Yeah.
Sure. You know your stuff, buddy.
You know, I'm old, but I still remember some things.
Very, very good. Well, one of the things we do here, as Roger will tell you, that we do is play classic radio shows. It's sort of what we do on Sunday nights. But guess what? Beginning next week, we're going to be here on Saturday nights as well. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights beginning next week. So we have double duty. We're on 3 hours on Saturday night beginning January 2nd and 3 hours on Sunday night. So that means 6 hours on the air. We play one classic radio show each hour. So instead of three shows a week, you're going to get six shows a week. Double work for you, Mike.
Absolutely.
Need to clone you.
Yeah, you do.
The shows that we have tonight on the WGN Radio Theater, great lineup. And you can find all of our shows, every episode that we play is on our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com. We post a schedule there of all the programs we play. Tonight, it's The Shadow to start things off, starring Orson Welles from 1938. Then Roy Rogers guests with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy on the Charlie McCarthy Show from 1947. Then Joel McRae stars as Ranger Jace Pearson on Tales of the Texas Rangers from 1950. So quite a fun lineup. And all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
All right. If you'd like to win a Lou Malnati's gift card, $25 gift card, then you need to answer who this celebrity is we're talking about. This Academy Award-winning actress will stop at nothing to recover her kidnapped son in the soon-to-be-released thriller Kidnap. Now, the number to call is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. But here's a hint. This actress starred in a movie called Monster's Ball.
Look at all this candy. You ain't gonna eat all this candy. You crazy? Look at this room. It's a mess. Why is it a mess, Tyrell? Because a fat little piggy lives in this room.
All right, if you know who that actress is, call us 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break. All right, let's play that Celebrity Scoop movie clip again.
Look at all this candy. You ain't gonna eat all this candy. You crazy? Look at this room. It's a mess. Why is it a mess, Tyrell? Because a fat little piggy lives in this room.
All right, we have Chris in Joliet calling. Hey, Chris, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. And do you know who that celebrity is, Chris?
That's Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. Sound good?
Oh, it sounds delicious. I had it last night, actually.
Well, you don't have to have it right away. You can hang on to it for a little while. It'll be good when you want to use it. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening. Appreciate you. All right, Chris knew it, Mike, and he knew that that was Halle Berry. She is going to star in a movie called Kidnap, coming out very, very soon. All right, it is time now to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, Dan Jaffe, the CEO, is normally here once a month at the last Sunday in every month. He couldn't make it in tonight, but he pre-chose a winner, and we're going to read off the winner's name right now, okay?
Yep, so the winner this month is Ram from the Bronx, New York, with his cat, Kitty Baby. And he's actually got a pretty interesting story on how he got his cat, you know.
The guy's name is Ram.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And his cat is Kitty Baby.
Kitty Baby.
All right. And a little story.
It says that he found this little angel homeless on the streets of the Bronx, New York, on a very cold night, dying from malnutrition, just a few ounces in weight, a stabbed wound to his neck, and blood dripping from his right eye. He brought him home, nurtured him back to life. He's his one and only family member and his best friend.
Wow, excellent. All right, well, you know what, Ram? Congratulations. Dan Jaffe and Cat's Pride is going to be happy to send you a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. You'll get coupons sent in the mail for an entire year's supply. And, folks, if you want to enter this drawing, because we give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every single month. Dan Jaffe, the CEO, is here. He isn't tonight because he couldn't make it in tonight, but he does give away this prize every single month. Just send a picture of you and your kitty and email that to us at catspride@gmail.com, right? Catspride@gmail.com?
That is correct.
Catspride photo.
Catspride photo.
Sorry. Catspride photo at gmail.com. Right.
And make sure you include your name, your cat's name, city, and state.
Right. And all of the pictures that we get each month are posted on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater, and you'll see all the pictures.
Yep.
All right. It's time now for The Shadow. Pretty good? Ready?
Definitely.
All right. The Shadow is obviously one of the most popular mystery detective shows of the golden age of radio. And in the 1930s, there was a narrator of stories of Street and Smith magazine. And by 1937, they decided to sort of make this narrator its own character called Lamont Cranston, who was a wealthy young man about town. And he had learned the hypnotic secret to cloud men's minds in the Orient. And he used this power to fight crime. Now, Orson Welles starred as Lamont Cranston in the 1937-38 series. And then other actors played the role, including Bill Johnstone, John Archer, Brett Morrison. Margot Lane was the only person who knew his true identity, other than us, the listening audience, of course. And The Shadow was on the radio until 1954. There was several movies about it. In fact, Alec Baldwin, I believe in 1984, played Lamont Cranston, The Shadow, in a major motion picture. But we have a radio episode for you now called Hounds in the Hills. It stars Orson Welles. You'll hear Agnes Moorehead as the lovely Margot Lane. She played Andorra on Bewitched, the TV series. This is from February 20th, 1938. Here's part one now of The Shadow.
The Shadow knows.
Now again comes radio's strangest adventurer, The Shadow. Mystery man who strikes terror into the very hearts of shopsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Today on the air, Blue Coal brings you The Shadow's latest adventure, Hounds in the Hills. In just a moment, the Shadow's exciting adventure will begin. Meanwhile, I have an important message for everybody. We are now in the midst of the most treacherous season of the entire year. But you can protect your family's health during this danger period by burning blue coal. For blue coal gives you clean, uniform, healthful heat all winter long. And its harmless blue coloring is your guarantee of better heat at less cost. So when you order fuel, insist on blue coal. It's Pennsylvania's finest anthracite. Your nearest blue coal dealer will be glad to send you a trial ton. Phone him tomorrow. High in the pine-clad hills of North Carolina, where backwoods living is neighbor to palatial winter homes, there is a haunted mansion, relic of former grandeur. With no visible means of support, old Sadie, haggard, half-demented creature, and Jake, her hunchback son, live in one wing of the dilapidated old house. A pack of great, vicious, cross-breed hounds guards the old place from intruders. It is early evening. In the dim half-light, two figures, led by one of the hounds, approach the house.
I don't like it here. I want to go home.
What's the matter, little boy? You ain't afraid of my pet dog, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm afraid of your dog, and I'm afraid of you, too. I want to go home to my mother. I don't want to go with you.
I take my dog wherever I go. He won't hurt you. Not so long as you're with me, he won't. Don't tell him what he'd do to you if he got you alone, Jakey.
My name isn't Jakey. My name is Dickie Nelson. And if you don't let me go home, my mother will be worried.
Now, Jakey, don't be scared, old Sadie. I'm your mother. Old Sadie's your mother. Didn't know that, did you?
You're not my mother. And I don't believe there's other little boys here like you said.
Jakey, I got lots of sons now. Old Sadie will show you. Mom, it's me, Jake. That's Jake. You're what he was before I dropped him and hurt his back.
Who's that you got with you, Mom?
Who's that?
No, don't you be scared of him, Jakey.
I don't like him. He's awful looking.
Jakey? He's a hunchback. His mother dropped him when he was a little fella like you. I dropped him. We'll start all over again with a new Jakey. I won't drop you. You won't be a hunchback like he is.
I want to go home to my mother and daddy. I don't like anything here. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Don't you touch me.
Mom, you crazy old fool. You did it again.
Nice drive, Lamont. Your golf's improving.
So, Cranston, you don't always miss the ball, eh?
Well, that's what a vacation in North Carolina does for you. Especially when you're the host, Mr. Rupert.
I thought you were always on vacations, Lamont. I've never heard of you doing anything except dabbling in that mysterious laboratory of yours.
Yes, just a playboy.
Yes, I just dabble. A little science, a little chemistry, a little psychology. I just dabble.
Someone's calling you, Gary.
Seems to be in a hurry.
Well, it's the sheriff. I hope I haven't done anything wrong.
Perhaps he saw you drive, Gary.
Mr. Rupert.
Yeah?
Sorry to bother you.
Well, what is it, Sheriff?
Another child's lost. Gone over the cliff at the border trail.
What? Another one?
Yes, little Dickie Nelson this time.
Oh, good Lord, Sheriff. This is horrible.
Child lost? Is that what you said, Sheriff?
Yes, sir. Fourth in less than 2 weeks.
Lost? Lost how?
On the border trail over cliff there.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, what is this trail, Gary?
Well, it's a narrow pathway along the rim of a high cliff. It washes out so that a slip on the gravel starts to slide right over the cliff.
And you mean to say four boys have been lost there in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Four?
Yes, but doesn't it strike you there might be something more than just fate causing the disappearance of these children?
Well, but what?
That I don't know. Gary, I'd like to look at this cliff.
Look, Mr. Cranston. You see how the trail washes out down the cliff?
Yes, Sheriff.
That's 1,000 feet straight down there.
It's the river at the bottom.
Yeah, I reckon the current must carry the bodies away. We haven't found a trace of them.
I don't suppose there's any doubt about what happened to the boys.
No, Miss Lynn. When Bobby Mina disappeared last week, we found a ball he'd been playing with.
Would you call that conclusive evidence?
Well, this morning we snared up Dickie Nelson's cap that was caught on some shrubbery part way down the mountain.
Hmm.
Of course, some of the colored folk around here think ghosts done it.
Ghosts?
Yeah. See, they was howling last night about the time Dickie was lost here.
What kind of howling, Sheriff?
Darned if I know, sir. They say they heard it the three times the other boys were lost. But you know how they are. Colored folks up here in the hills are superstitious.
Yes, but what kind of a howl does a ghost make in this part of the country, Sheriff?
And that's what I asked. About as near they could describe it, it was like a dog howling. A hound dog.
Well, I've generally found that a dog howling means a dog. Perhaps I'd better reverse the usual procedure of a dog trailing a man.
This is all very mysterious, Lamont.
Yes, it is, Margot. Would you excuse me for a moment, Sheriff?
Yes, yeah, certainly, Mr. Cranston.
Margot, I think the Shadow will look into this mystery.
But how?
Go back to the house, Margot. I'll wireless you if I need help. In my invisible state as the Shadow, I'm going to follow the clue of the dogs and see where it leads me.
I want to go home.
Don't cry, Dickie. Don't cry.
Huh? What's that? Who are you?
I've come here to help you. You're Dickie Nelson, aren't you?
Yes, sir, but who are you? It's so dark I can't see you.
You don't need to see me, Dickie. Pretend I'm just a shadow. But you can hear me.
Yes, sir, but I want to go home.
Here, here. You've got to be a man, Dickie. I'll try to get you home. But you've got to stop crying and help me.
I'm scared, that's why.
Haven't you got a handkerchief?
No, sir.
Here, use my handkerchief.
Thank you.
Now dry your eyes and wipe your nose. I want you to tell me something.
Yes, sir.
Are there any other boys here?
Yes, sir, three of them. How did you get here?
I believed a ghost story, Dickie. And I looked for a ghost who howled like a hound. And then I just walked. But I didn't find a ghost. I found what I expected to find. A dog. In fact, lots of them.
Didn't they see you?
No.
Didn't old Sadie or Jake see you?
No, it's dark in here. But even with the light on, people can see me because I've learned how to make them think they don't see me. I blind their eyes to me.
How?
Never mind how. You must believe it and don't be afraid of me. I'm your friend.
Yes, sir.
Trust me, Dickie. Perhaps I can find a way to get you and the other boys out of... Quiet. Somebody coming.
All right, let's take a break right here on that doorknob on The Shadow, starring Orson Welles. We'll get back to it in a few minutes, but first, let's take a break. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Roger. And we're here Sunday nights from 11 o'clock till 2 in the morning Monday. And starting next week, we're going to be on 2 days a week, every week, Saturday nights and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. So we're doubling our time here on WGN. Very, very happy to say that. We'll be here two nights, Saturday and Sunday nights. Please mark your calendar. We're listening to The Shadow with Orson Welles. Orson Welles was 22 years old when this show was on the air. And in 10 months from this time, because this is February 20th, 1938, in 10 months, I should say 8 months, he would become an overnight sensation, become famous around the world for his War of the Worlds broadcast. And we'll play that for you. We played it once. We'll play it again here on the WGN Radio Theater. But now let's get back to Hounds in the Hills, Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston on The Shadow.
If the Shadow finds these kids here, they'll hang us, you crazy old fool!
Hey. Don't you touch my baby. He's my Jakey. He's you before you came a hunchback. If you kill him, you'll be killing yourself. He's you, Jake.
You keep away from me. Don't you touch me.
Jake, don't touch that boy.
Who's that?
I heard it, too.
Give me that lamp.
I heard it, too, Jake.
Nobody's in here but us. Us and the kid. He got out.
No, I'm still here.
It's the voice. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody with us.
Yeah, I heard it too. Well, that's nothing, Jake. I'm always hearing voices. And now you're hearing them. Ah, we're both crazy.
Reckon ain't so crazy a voice can scare me. If I'm crazy like you, then voices ain't real. And put this kid out of the way, and then I'll get the others.
No, stop. Please don't hit me with that stick.
Jake, no, Jake.
Put down that stick, Jake. Put it down.
Now. I ain't scared of voices that ain't real.
I said drop it.
Who hit me? Look. Look at that place on my wrist. Look.
Well, Jake, I've been hearing voices for a long time, but I ain't never been hit by one.
You done it.
Oh, I did not. I wasn't near you.
Then it was the kid.
I never moved.
Well, then who?
I hit you, Jake. Now I'm going to give you a chance to save yourselves. Let this boy go. Bring the other boys here. I'll take them home.
No, they're mine. They're mine. They're Jakey. No.
I'll get rid of them my way.
Please help me. I want to go home.
Trust me, Dickie. There's only one thing for me to do now. Jake, this is your last chance.
What? Who's that? You reckon it's somebody looking for the kids? If it is...
Jake, it must be them. The Duke and Slim coming to hide out. Listen. Yeah, it's him. Oh, Jake, he'll kill us both if he knows about my babies.
Well, what he don't know won't hurt him. Shut the door to the kids' room and lock it.
Hurry up, Jake. Let him in. Don't say a word about my babies.
Don't worry. Maybe I'm crazy, too, but I ain't that crazy.
Well, what took you so long, Jake?
Hello, Duke.
Come in, Slim. Hurry up. Shut the door.
Okay, Duke.
Hey, what a dump this is. It's better than being in jail up north. If we didn't have this hideout, that's where you'd be. Hello, old Sadie.
Come in, Duke. Cops after you again?
Shut up. That half-witted old dame talks too much.
Hey, are you staying for a while, Duke?
What's it to you?
I don't care.
Oh, lay off the guy, Slim. Jake, and you too, old Sadie.
Yeah?
We're taking a little rest away from the cops, see? Turn the dogs loose in the yard around the house so they can chew up anybody that comes here looking for us. Go on, Jake, do it now.
All right, Duke.
Just a minute, Jake.
Who's that?
Somebody's in here, Duke.
It's the voice again, Jake. They can't hear it unless they're crazy, too.
That voice again.
Yes, Jake, that same voice. And the Duke can hear it, too. Can't you, Duke?
Say, what's going on here? Who is that?
I tell you, it's in here, Duke.
Who's playing tricks on me?
Duke, did you ever hear of the Shadow?
The Shadow?
I have, Duke. I know, that's the guy that talks to you, but you can't see him.
Shut up, you fool. Yeah, Shadow. I've heard about you. I never believed what I heard, though.
You can believe it now. Listen, Duke. I'm here for only one purpose. To save the lives of four little children.
Oh, don't believe him. It's a lie.
Shut up. I'm handling this. Go ahead, Shadow. Go ahead. Talk some more.
All right. Old Sadie and Jake there put you in a tough spot.
How, Shadow?
Old Sadie is crazy. She's, well, shall we say, borrowed four little boys from places near here and made it appear that they were killed. Killed falling over a cliff.
It's a lie. They was killed. I killed them and my Jakey took their place.
Duke, the old dame is back.
Shut up.
Jake here is almost as crazy as his mother, but... he wants to kill the boys.
Don't believe him, Duke.
Either way, you'll be arrested for kidnapping.
Hey, Duke, we don't want no part in kidnapping.
Well, Shadow, what's the proposition?
If you let me take the boys away back to their homes, you won't be accused of kidnapping.
And give you a chance to tip off the police to where we're hiding out? Oh, no. Let him have it, Slim.
Hey, look, Duke, the door. He went out the door.
He's gone, Duke. He's gone. We can't get him now.
Oh, yes, we can.
How?
The dog. If the Shadow's a man, them dogs can follow his scent.
If the Shadow is a man, you mean the dogs will trail him by his scent, even though we can't see him?
She's right, Duke.
But we haven't got anything to give the dogs to smell, to give them the scent.
Maybe he left something in the kid's room. Let's go and see.
Yeah, come on, let's see.
Let's see where to get the kid in there.
Find out. Yeah, let's look around here.
Ah, he's too clever to have left anything behind.
Hey, where'd the boy get that handkerchief he's sniffling into?
Handkerchief, huh?
Yeah, he never had no handkerchief when he come here.
Who gave you this handkerchief, little boy?
A man.
What man?
A man who spoke to me in the dark.
You couldn't see him?
No, he said I had to believe he was here,
although I couldn't see him.
Then it's the shadows.
Get the dogs. Get the dogs. They can get his scent from that handkerchief and trail him. The shadow can't escape this time.
About 4 miles off the cliff road. They're being held captive. There's no time to lose. I'm in the woods. The pack of hounds is trailing me. You can probably hear them. They've got my scent. Hurry. Get the sheriff. Save the children. Hurry.
Come on, Jake. Keep up in front where we can see you. Don't try to hide behind the trees. If you think you can sneak back to the house...
All right, Duke, all right.
Slim.
Yeah, Duke?
If Jake starts falling back again anymore, trying to lose us among the trees in the dark so he can go back to the house and finish off them kids, let him have it.
Okay, boss.
I wasn't. Honest, I wasn't.
Okay, then come on.
Hey, you, Jake. Ain't those dogs liable to turn on us?
Yeah, if you was alone. Yeah, but I'm with you.
You hear that, Duke? The dogs have got the shadow. It's lucky for us he left his handkerchief with the kids so the hounds could get the scent, ain't it, huh?
Yeah. Now, there's only one or two things for the shadow to do. Stand and be chewed by them beasts, or else climb a tree. He's not invisible to a dog's nose. They can smell him.
If he's climbed a tree, we got him, Duke.
Hey, there's the dogs jumping around that tree. Right there. See him?
Well, what do we do now?
Well, we can't do much while it's dark.
What do you mean?
I mean, we gotta keep the shadow treed until it's daylight.
Yeah, but you can't see him, whether it's light or dark.
That's right. Maybe he's beating us after all.
Listen, if we wait till daylight, then we can see where he is in the tree.
But you can't see where he is.
Yeah, but when he comes, he has to shake the branch he's sitting on. And when we see any of them leaves shaking, we'll shoot right at that place.
It'll be like shooting at nothing.
I know. Say, if we don't get him that way... He has two other things to choose from.
Yeah, what's that?
We can keep him treed until he gets so weak he can't work his invisibility gag anymore. And he comes down. And then the dogs get him.
Well, there's nothing to do but wait till morning then.
No, but we gotta keep awake. Morning ain't far off. And then we'll see.
Hey, Duke. I got to thinking, sitting here last night, what about them kids?
Well, Slim, what about them?
We didn't do it, but they can pin a kidnapping rap on us.
Not without evidence, Slim.
No, but you... Oh, I get it. No evidence, huh?
That's right.
No kids.
What do you think?
Yeah. Jake here don't want no evidence either.
As soon as we dispose of the man who calls himself the Shadow, no one will know.
And then Jake here gets rid of the kids.
That's right.
Yeah, but how about Jake and old Sadie?
I think they could disappear and not be missed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, Duke, look. We can see the whole tree now. But I don't see nobody.
No, of course not. But he's there. Now watch carefully, Slim. There's no wind. Any limb or branch that moves may be the shadow.
Yeah.
So when something moves, let him have it.
I get it. Hey, but how'll we know when we get him?
He'll come down, Slim. Now, you missed, Slim. Take your time.
Hey, what's that?
I thought I saw a branch move. We're shooting at the shadow, Jake.
And when he's unconscious or dead, we can see him all right. And then...
You didn't do so good yourself, Duke.
Those dogs are hungry.
Yeah. I bet they look nice from up in the tree, waiting for their breakfast.
How can you shoot him if you can't see him?
Shut up, Jake. Now, take your time, Slim.
Good morning, Duke.
He's there.
Good morning, Shadow.
I hope you slept well.
Oh, yeah. And you? Now, watch close, Slim.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it be too much for me to ask, how are the little boys?
They're all right, Shadow. So far.
That's good.
Yeah, but I'll get rid of them.
Slim, get around the other side of the tree. I think he's low in the tree, behind the trunk.
Okay, Duke.
We're taking care of you first, Shadow. You know too much. Well, what's funny, Shadow?
I'm laughing at you, Duke.
Oh, yeah? You laugh different when I get my hands on you.
Why don't you come up here and try it?
I don't have to. You'll come down.
You'll have a long wait.
Oh, yeah?
Can't you say anything but oh, yeah? You're really quite stupid, Duke.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm smart enough to get you out of that tree.
Good. I was getting rather bored.
Ah, shut up. Hey, Slim. Go back to the house and get an axe. This tree ain't too big to cut down.
Very ingenious.
Yeah, but the dogs. It ain't safe to leave without Jake.
The dogs, they won't touch you. They're after the shadow. And Jake will keep them here.
Sure, sure. I'll keep them here, sure.
And hurry back, Slim.
Now, scram.
Okay, Duke. But don't let them dogs come after me.
Jake will keep the dogs here.
Okay, watch it, Duke. Now, hurry back, Slim.
Say, Jake, call the dogs off. They're going after Slim.
Yeah, they don't like him.
Hey, call it back. Slim, look out. Jake, the dogs are attacking.
Yeah, they're going to eat him.
I'll shoot him, Slim.
Guess you didn't shoot him soon enough, Duke.
Well, Jake, your dogs got Slim. I'm afraid you've lost most of them.
Yeah. Ma'll be awful mad. There's only Big Tom left. But the Duke will shoot him.
No, he won't. His gun's empty. Look at him go up that tree.
Yeah. Big Tom didn't get him. Now you're both up in the tree, ain't you?
No, Jake, I'm standing right here behind you. Now do what I tell you. Go over to that tree and tie Big Tom to it so that the Duke can't get down.
Why should I?
You want to get those kids out of the way, don't you? Duke won't let you.
Yeah, he won't, maybe. Yeah, he won't let me, maybe. Hey, I won't tell him what I'm going to do.
Jake, call off this dog. Tie him up, do you hear me? Tie him up. No, not to my tree, you dope. Take him away. Listen to me. Don't tie him there, you half-wit.
Well, Duke, we changed places.
I'll get you if it's the last thing I do, Shadow.
You're going to have plenty to do before we meet again. Jake, come back here.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty of time to think about that. Here are some men that may help you out.
Who are they?
My lord, what happened here?
I don't know, Sheriff. Say, this is the hunchback, Jake. Hello, Jake.
Duke's up in the tree.
Duke?
Yeah, look out, Sheriff.
I got him. Reckon that dog won't attack anyone else.
You killed him.
Now, if our friend will come down out of the tree, I'll be delighted to put a pair of handcuffs onto him. I've been looking for him and his partner for some time. From the looks of things, I won't need to put the cuffs on his partner.
Well, Margo, you better go back to the cars.
All right. Yes, I think I will. I only wanted to see if... Yes, I'll go back.
All right, men. Let's take him away.
Margo.
Oh, Lamont. Lamont, are you all right?
Yeah, don't speak my name here.
Darling, I was so frightened when I got your wireless message. I thought it was the end.
So did I. Are the boys all right?
Yes, all the boys are safe. They've been taken into town. A deputy sheriff took old Sadie along. Dickie Nelson is in one of the cars up the road waiting. Oh, Lamont, I feel so sorry for that poor old woman.
So do I, Margo. She's demented. We must see that she's placed in an institution, not a prison. A place where she can satisfy her mother love mania with dolls instead of other people's children. Go to the car, Margo. I'll meet you there.
What are we waiting for, Miss Lane? I want to go home to my mother.
Just a minute, Dickie. I'm expecting someone.
Who?
Oh, here he comes now.
Hello, Margo.
Hello, Lamont.
Who is this young man?
This is Dickie Nelson. Dickie Lamont Cranston.
Hello, Mr. Cranston.
Well, Dickie, I hear you had quite an adventure last night.
Yes. A kind man came to my room at that terrible house. But I couldn't see him.
Well, maybe you dreamt it, Dickie. Supposing we keep it a secret. Just between us three.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
All right. But it was a swell dream.
You have just heard a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious.
Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
As you sow evil, so shall you reap evil. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
That's the great Orson Welles, age 22 there, starring in Hounds in the Hills. It's a young guy playing Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town on The Shadow, probably one of the most famous radio series of all time. When people think about the golden age of radio, they think of The Shadow, Jack Benny, they think of Dragnet, Inner Sanctum, Suspense. So The Shadow right up there with the most remembered radio shows. And we play them all here on the WGN Radio Theater. If you're just tuning in, welcome aboard. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights. Saturday and Sunday nights here on WGN, the legendary WGN. Let's take a break, then it's more. Did Roger say 9-foot waves on Lakeshore Drive? Are you saying if we're driving on Lakeshore Drive, we might be swept away by a wave?
Well, they are predicting 15 to 20-foot waves along the lakefront.
Yeah.
They are not predicting right now that they are going to close Lakeshore Drive.
We might go,
want to go skinny dipping?
Skinny dipping? Yeah.
Surfing.
Or polar bear. Surfing. What is it? Polar bear guys. What do they do?
Oh,
where
you jump in the freezing water?
I've always wanted to do that, actually, when they've had
really?
That on. Yes.
Yeah. Well, not me. So, but I guess if you're driving down Lakeshore Drive tomorrow.
Yeah. Something I won't be doing.
Be careful, right?
Yeah.
You might get swept away.
Yeah, we might get a warning tomorrow about that. They have done this in the past.
Yeah.
Where they have shut down Lakeshore Drive, and especially, people like to walk along the lakefront on the
yeah.
and ride their bikes and stuff there.
Right.
And we've had a lot of problems in the past year or so
yeah.
with that, with the high
Bring
waves.
A flotation device
yeah.
with you. If you're going to walk down Lakeshore Drive.
Wear your rubber ducky.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks, Roger. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, this is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater on the legendary station, Radio 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate studio here. It's Mike Costello, my executive producer. Dan Long, the best in the business, the producer of this show, in the booth there. Lisa Wolf, she's in Florida. She's taking a week off, that Lisa, you know. When you can do it, right? She can do it. Her, along with her husband, Dan, they're in Florida enjoying the nice warm weather in Florida. So, hi, Lisa. I know she's listening. And all of her fans, oh, boy, they must be disappointed, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
They're
Lisa's
disappointed.
She posted earlier, and people are just saying it's not going to be the same.
No,
and,
I know.
They miss her. They definitely miss her.
Well, let's have a great show, right? Let's just have a great show so when she comes back and she gives us a lot of hassle, we can be like, no, the show went great. It was great, right?
Yep. The old-time radio shows were awesome.
They went off without a hitch. All right, Lisa Wolf, enjoy yourself out there in Florida. Have a nice few more days off. In this hour, we're going to tune into Charlie McCarthy with special guest Roy Rogers. In our next hour, we're going to tune into Tales of the Texas Rangers. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night, two nights a week. We're here on the weekends from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. playing classic radio shows, and it's brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
All right, if you would like to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, you need to name this celebrity and give us a call at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Forbes magazine just named this celebrity Hollywood's most overpaid actor. Can you name him? Now, here's a hint. In 2009, he starred in a biography crime drama called Public Enemies.
I was raised on a farm in Mooresville, Indiana. My mama died when I was 3. My daddy beat the hell out of me because he didn't know no better way to raise me.
I like baseball, movies, good clothes, fast cars, whiskey, and you. What else you need to know?
All right, if you know who that celebrity is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. If you can identify that celebrity, you will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll find our winner after this break. All righty. Let's play that movie clip again.
I was raised on a farm in Mooresville, Indiana. My mama died when I was 3. My daddy beat the hell out of me because he didn't know no better way to raise me. I like baseball, movies, good clothes, fast cars, whiskey, and you. What else you need to know?
Who is that celebrity? Jeff in Elgin thinks he knows it. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the show.
Every week.
Thank you so much. Did you know we're going to be on Saturday nights, too, beginning next week?
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Right, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you listening. So who is the celebrity?
That's Johnny Depp.
That's right, Johnny Depp. And he dethroned Adam Sandler as Hollywood's most overpaid actor. Sandler held the unenviable honor in 2013 and 2014. Not sure why Johnny Depp was named the most overpaid actor, but he was dubbed it by Ford Magazine. Jeff, you're a winner. You're going to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, okay?
That's excellent. And I have one request. It's an obscure Jack Webb show, Pete Kelly's Blues.
Oh, man, great show where he was a trumpet player at Lupo's Bar, right? And it's a cool show. There's not a lot of them that exist, but we have four or five of them. Yeah, we have a few of them, and they're in really good quality, so I'll play one for you for sure, Jeff. You got it.
That's great. They had a movie that I saw on Turner Classic Movies then. Yeah. I had Ella Fitzgerald singing in it, so it was really nice.
It's a really cool show. He was a trumpet player in the 1920s, and he always got into trouble and sort of had to figure out how to get out of it. Used to get beat up pretty good in the show.
That's true.
Very good series. So I'll play one for you for sure, Jeff. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much,
Carl. All right, buddy. Thanks very much. Okay, it is time now for the Charlie McCarthy Show. I could never understand this show. And why it was so popular. I mean, I like the show, but why a ventriloquist was so popular on the radio when you could never see the guy's lips moving or not moving?
It's kind of an interesting concept.
But on radio? I mean, I could understand it on television, but on radio kind of makes no sense. But, hey, it worked. It was a number one show on radio for years and years and years. Edgar Bergen, he became a ventriloquist at a very young age. He really liked the whole skill of ventriloquism. And he had a carpenter create a dummy, the wisecracking Charlie McCarthy. And the duo became talent show headliners in Chicago, because he lived in Chicago, while he was attending Northwestern University. And they made their radio debut on Rudy Valley's show in 1936, became an instant success, and were given their own show for Chase and Sanborn Coffee, became one of the highest-rated shows in radio history. And even knowing that Bergen provided the voice, listeners perceived Charlie as a genuine person. They just thought he was a real guy. And, of course, it was Edgar Bergen doing both voices. He also had another dummy, the slow-witted Mortimer Snerd, and also the man-hungry spinster Effie Clinker. So he had quite a few different dummies that he did the voices for. In 1941, Bergen married fashion model Frances Westerman, and 1 year later, future actress Candice Bergen was born. So Edgar Bergen is Candice Bergen's dad. In 1978, after 48 years in show business, Bergen sent his monocled, top-hatted partner, Charlie McCarthy, to the Smithsonian Institution, and that's where you can see the real Edgar Bergen, cool. I mean, the real Charlie McCarthy dummy,
nice.
Is, and I think Mortimer Snerd is in there as well. So check that out if you're ever in D.C. and check out the Smithsonian Institute. All right, it's time now for a Charlie McCarthy show. This is going back to January 26, 1947. Their special guest is cowboy good guy Roy Rogers. Here's part one now of the Charlie McCarthy Show.
Of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Sturt, Pat Patrick, and our special guests for this evening, Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Go to sleep, you little rascals, you.
Talking to yourself? What's gotten into you, Charlie?
Well, if you must know, Bergen, I got worms.
Oh.
Silkworms, that is.
Oh, silkworms.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, where?
Well, right here in my pocket. Yeah,
silkworm.
You know what?
No.
I'm gonna raise silk.
Well, well, so that's it.
Yeah. And these little silkworms are the charter members of McCarthy's wormatorium.
I see. Well, now, that's very interesting.
I think so, too. And instructive.
Yes, sir. Now, what do you expect to make out of this silk?
I'm going to be a silk stocking king.
Oh, I see.
Monarch of all I survey. Now, brother, that's pretty nice surveying. All right. Hubba, hubba, hubba. All right.
Manufacturing silk hose is not as easy as you think.
Why?
Well, you have no idea what goes in a pair of lady stockings.
Oh, come now. I wasn't born yesterday.
But silkworms, they work very slowly.
Yeah?
How do you expect to get any production?
Oh, I got that worked out. I'm going to cross them with glowworms so they can work at night.
All right. And another thing, what about feeding them? What are you going to feed them?
Oh, just leftovers from the table.
Oh, no. I'm almost certain they live exclusively on mulberry leaves.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. I'll ask Ray Noble. Ray.
Coming again.
Ray.
What's up, old boy?
What do silkworms live on?
Well, it really doesn't make much difference, old boy. I've never seen a worm yet that couldn't make both ends meet.
Yeah.
I rather liked it.
Yeah, well, you stand alone.
Yes.
Ray?
Yes?
I think you've been seeing too much of yourself lately. And so have we. Goodbye, if you don't mind.
Why goodbye? I mean, I'd rather hate to leave so soon, you know.
It's the least you could do after that one. Oh, let us not encourage him.
Charlie, tell me, do you have many silkworms?
No, I just bought a pair of them. Oswald and Chloe.
Oh, you have named them already.
Oh, sure.
How do you know which is Oswald and which is Chloe?
Oh, it's simple. You know, they always say a worm turns, you see.
Yes, I see.
And the one that doesn't signal before it turns, that's naturally the lady.
Well, you won't get much silk from just two silkworms, or I should say two caterpillars. That's what they really are.
Yeah, I know, but before long, I expect my caterpillars to have, you know, a lot of little kitten pillars.
Oh, I see. Well, it's easy to see that you know nothing about the life cycle of a silkworm.
No, sir.
No, I think, Charlie, it's time that I explained it to you.
Yes, sir. But don't forget, sir, that I am still a sensitive, impressionable youth, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the lowdown?
Well, to begin with, it's well, it's like this.
Well, get a grip on yourself, there again. You're blushing clear up to your widow's peak.
All right. First, the silkworm, or caterpillar, gorges itself on mulberry leaves, and then it starts spinning.
Ha-ha! A snootful.
No. No, it spins a cocoon around itself, and then after being locked inside for 3 weeks, do you know what it does?
Yeah, it yells, "Open the door, Richard!"
No. No, a strange phenomenon takes place. It's called metamortimer. Metamorphosis.
Yeah, well, watch it, bud.
Yes, I will.
Well, that settles it.
We got to use shorter words here. No, no. Either that or get a smarter straight man. All right. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, you certainly do. Yes.
The word metamorphosis comes from the Greek word meaning to transform.
Gad. Is there anything those Greeks don't have a word for? Oh, no.
Now, please, I think we've gone about far enough. What's the matter, Charlie?
Oh, Oscar and Chloe just tickled me. All right, all right. I forgot I had a hole in my pocket.
Oh, I see. Well, let me see those silkworms of yours.
Okay.
Bring them out.
Okay. Here they are, Durgan. Here they are.
Why, Charlie, these aren't silkworms at all.
They're not?
No, no. They're just ordinary earthworms. Why, you got gypped.
I did?
You certainly did. Now, what have you got to say?
Let's go fishing. Yeah, all right.
Lovely Anita Garden sings the beautiful ballad, Life Can Be Beautiful, accompanied by Ray Noble and his orchestra.
Life can be beautiful. How do I know? Somebody wonderful just told me so. Come anytime, anytime at all. Nights can be heavenly. Take nights like this. What makes them heavenly? Only your kiss. Life could be beautiful with you.
There is the first portion of the Charlie McCarthy Show going back to January 26th, 1947. A special guest, Roy Rogers, will join them in just a few minutes, and they will go on a dude ranch, and Roy Rogers will give riding lessons on Trigger. This is sponsored by Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Blue Bonnet Margarine. It's aired on NBC. We'll get back to that in just a couple of moments here on the WGN Radio Theater. But first, let's pay some bills. All right. Little wake-up music there. A little, gave me like a little jolt. It gave me some, like, it was like a caffeination, you know, like some caffeine, right? Felt good. I like that. Thanks. Thanks, Dan. He saw me dozing off over here, and he was like, let me jolt Carl right out of his chair there. All right, so this is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday. We're adding Saturdays to our shift. I love it, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. lot more old-time radio. For
were
the
you
world.
Happy when I told you? Todd Manley gave me the good news a few weeks ago. He said, hey, how'd you like to do an extra 3 hours on Saturday night? And I called Mike up right away, and how did you feel about that?
Another I was
more
quite
work,
excited.
More work for Mike.
Yep.
The
yep.
hardest working man in show business over here.
You give me too much work.
The Mad. He has a new nickname, Roger. I'm calling him the Mad Hatter because he has so many hats. The Mad Hatter, David Wayne. And then Dan Long is the best in the business over there, our producer. And we appreciate you, Dan. And so good to be here every Sunday with you doing the show. We are in the midst of listening to the Charlie McCarthy Show. Roger, I don't understand how this is kind of crazy, right? A ventriloquist on the radio?
Yeah, that was always the magic of the bit. It was because he's not a great ventriloquist.
Right.
If you watch
right.
live video of him, he's not the greatest ventriloquist in the world.
Yeah.
But it worked perfect on the radio, even with the live audience in the theater
mm-hmm.
watching him do it, because it was so well written.
Well, you know what? You just nailed it. You're right. He wasn't that with the lips. You could see his
mm-hmm.
lips moving. But he was excellent at changing his voice and talking to
yeah.
himself. Remember, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like he would do the Edgar Bergen. He was Edgar Bergen, and then he would do the Charlie McCarthy.
Right.
And it sounded like it was two people
exactly
talking. I mean, he was so close to talking over himself. It was amazing how he did that.
And the other great thing about it was he wasn't the star of the show, even though his name was in the title. It was the characters that were the real stars of the show.
Right.
It was less him and more of the
You mean less
characters.
Bergen.
Right.
Edgar Bergen.
Yeah.
In fact, the name of the show was the Charlie McCarthy Show.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Chase and Sanborn Show with Charlie McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Mortimer Snurd. That guy. And then there was Effie Klinker,
mm-hmm.
right? The man crazy Effie Klinker. But I got it. It's just when you think about a ventriloquist on the radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Little kooky.
It's almost like doing pantomime on the radio.
Exactly.
You know?
It's exactly like that. All right, let's get back to this. The conclusion now from January 26, 1947, you'll hear guest Roy Rogers on the Charlie McCarthy Show.
Why, Mortimer Snurd. What are you doing here?
Well, I was on the way over here, see?
Yeah.
So I decided it wouldn't be out on the way to drop in on you.
Say, why didn't I see you at my 10th anniversary party last Sunday night?
Well, maybe it was 'cause I wasn't there.
Well, I know. But why weren't you there?
Well, because it was too fair to walk, that's why.
Too fair to walk. Why, you could have taken that red bus.
Yeah.
Well, it goes right there.
It does?
Yeah.
The red bus?
Well, of course.
Oh, well, if I'd have known I could have rode, I would have went. Oh, no.
I beg your pardon.
What did you do?
No. If I'd have known I could have rode, I would have went.
Yeah.
Mortimer, you must watch your speech.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. My nose kind of cuts off the view.
Well, you don't want to be an illiterate, do you?
I don't know. How are the hours?
Oh, I don't know. Me. Maybe I can help you with your grammar.
Well,
now let's take that sentence and pull it apart.
All right, yeah. You hold it down and I'll pull its legs off.
No. Now, I is a pronoun.
You is?
And take the verb. I ride, I rode, I have ridden.
Say, you give the bus company lots of business, don't you?
Now, will you please pay attention?
Yeah.
Ridden,
ridden.
Yeah.
Ridden is the past participle of ride.
Ride a participle of ride. A real ride a
Do you follow me?
No. I guess I missed the bus again, huh?
You poor boy. You poor boy.
Ill, ill.
Sometimes I fear your mental processes become temporarily benumbed, putting you in the unenviable classification of a borderline imbecility.
Oh, hush up out there. Look at all them wise guys sitting out there. Mouths open.
Yes, I know. Now let's get back to where we were.
Yeah.
Where was I?
You were standing right there.
Yeah, I did. Let's talk about your grammar and dangling participles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought something was dragging. Yeah. Reckon it's my garter.
No. Mortimer, how can you be so stupid when the road to knowledge and success is made so easy to travel?
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
If I'd have known, I could have rode, I would have went. All right.
Roy Rogers is coming over.
Well, now, Anita, at your age, you shouldn't bother your pretty little head about things like that.
Oh, I don't bother it. Mr. Rogers does.
Yes, I know.
He's just super.
Yes. He's a lucky chap, you know. When I was a lad, I wanted to be a cowboy.
Well, Ray, we all have those childhood dreams, but we soon get over them.
Oh, that's so true, Edgar, isn't it? Yes. Now I want to be an Indian.
Yeah. I'm an old cowhand from Chasing Sand. Yippee! Look what I brought with me, fellas. Roy Rogers, king of the cowboys.
Well, hello, Roy. And tell me, what have you been doing?
Oh, still riding herd for Republic.
Oh, those Republicans are going into everything now, aren't they?
I say, you know, I always wanted to be a cowboy and ride one of those bucking quadrupeds. The only thing is, I look so ridiculous.
Oh, you're so right.
Well, most of us look ridiculous on the dude ranch.
Well, you know, Edgar, it seems to me that if Easterners send their children to a finishing school so that they'll behave in the city, well, then there should be an unfinishing school, you see, to roughen them up for dude ranching.
Yeah.
Say, that gives me an idea. Let's open up a boot camp for tenderfeet.
You mean you want to start a school?
Well, school is such a horrid word. Let's call it an academy. I can just see a big classroom filled with dudes and dudesses.
Oh, you can? I say, Charlie, can you see me?
Yeah. You're wearing a 10-gallon dunce cap.
I know. Get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home.
Class, will please come to order.
Oh, no.
Now I'm going to call the roll. Dead Eye Noble.
Yippee! Oh, I mean present your tutorship.
Dead Head Bergen.
Present, partner.
Dead Wood McCarthy.
Yeah.
Hackamore T. Smew.
No, I'm here.
He just came back from riding class.
Well, give him a bottle of liniment for his homework. Miss Prairie Chick Gordon, ma'am.
Valto Rooney and present.
Oh, Miss Prairie Chick, may I carry your saddle home tonight?
Why, sure.
Your first subject today will be how to sing Western songs.
Good.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce your instructor, Professor Ursel Twing.
Hi, friends. Flattery will get you nothing. Yeah. Now, friends, I am the music teacher, and this class will be devoted to cowboy songs and their proper rendition. For goodness sake.
Well, what's the matter, Professor?
Well, to use the Western expression, somebody just pinched my poke.
Well, put some iodine on it and forget it.
No.
So you're the music teacher.
Yes, I'm the music teacher. And I'll have you know that I'm a rooty-tooty-tooter, too. Now, friends, we will sing Home on the Range with all the burners open. And that reminds me, I forgot to pay my gas bill. All right, now, students. Please, I'll do it myself.
Okay.
Do, re, mi, so, so, da, frayon. That's it. All together now.
Home, home on the range. Where the deer.
They got spurs that yingle, yangle, yingle.
No, group, no,
they got
stop.
Spurs
stop.
That yingle, yangle, yingle.
Well, now, just who on earth are you?
Well, Eben, Yumpalong Svensson.
Oh, yeah.
Eben, the tumbling tumblesweet. My front name is Axel.
Oh, well, what is your rear axle? What is your last name?
Well, there's Svensson.
Oh.
He looks more like a busted axle to me.
Yeah. Well, just what is your purpose in coming here?
Well, I want to be wild and woolly.
Well, I don't think you'll ever be woolly.
Is that so? Well, yes, you look kind of puny to me, too.
Keep it up. Go on, yes.
And you don't look very Western, either.
Oh, I don't. Is that so? Well, I'll have you know that my parents brought me out west in a covered wagon, so there.
Yeah, well, I don't blame them for being ashamed to let anybody see you.
Oh, that's very smart.
That was a snappy comebacker.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes. There's been a little undercurrent of remarks to which I do not subscribe, and you've just been teasing and tormenting me, too.
Oh, I don't think so.
I haven't been so provoked since my mother-in-law cut off my allowance.
And that must have been painful.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I just had enough of this, and I'm just as mad as all get out, and I think I will get out, so goodbye.
Too bad he's such a high-strung critter. All right, boys, I reckon I'd better take over.
Yeah, sure. We will all sing now. We got spurs that jingle, yangle, jingle, jingle.
Oh, no, we won't.
Oh, yes, we will. They got spurs that jingle. No, yangle. No, and yingle. No.
Boy, those Swedes are tough. All right, boys, start us off.
When each new day is born, I go riding, yippee-yay. On the wide open plains I roam, yippee-yo. Till the sun to the hills goes hiding, yippee-yay. There will always be someone glad when I come home, yippee-yay, yippee-yo. End of day, home we go.
For a cowboy has to sing,
Bloody.
And the cowboy has to yell. His heart would break inside of him at the gates of the home corral. Now the long day is through on the prairie. There's a low hanging sun in the sky. From the home corral we will tarry. And we'll sing of the roundups in the days gone by.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yo, end of day, home we go.
For a cowboy has to sing,
Bloody.
And the cowboy has to yell,
Wee.
Or his heart would break inside of him
at the gates of the home corral.
There's a tired pony glad that it's over,
Yippee-yay.
With a song in my heart, so am I.
Yippee-o.
For tonight we'll be dreaming of clover,
Yippee-yay.
And we always will until the day we die.
Yippee-yay. Yippee-yo, end of day, home we go.
For a cowboy has to sing,
Bloody.
And the cowboy has to yell,
Wee.
Or his heart would break inside of him
at the gates of the home corral. Yippee-yay, yippee-yo, end of day.
That was very good, pupils. And now the next subject will be on horsemanship and horses.
Yeah, everybody open your scratch sheets to page 4.
Now, are there any questions? Please, Trigger, just the pupils, please. Mr. Noble, can you describe a horse?
Oh, yes, yes. A horse is a large, solid-hoofed, herbivorous mammal domesticated by humans since the prehistoric ages.
That's very good. That's very good, I think. Say, Charlie, what nationality is this guy anyway?
Oh, I don't think so. He just reads a lot.
Charlie, have you ever ridden a horse?
Well, I rode a runaway horse one time for 3 miles.
Remarkable horsemanship. Sure. How did you manage to stay on him?
Well, my pants got caught in the saddle.
I see.
I was once thrown from a horse, you know.
On the prairie?
No, actually on the merry-go-round. No nickel, you see.
Yeah. Mr. Noble, how many legs does a horse have?
Yeah, and no fair looking in the back of the book, either.
Well, a horse has 4 legs, and there's one in each corner.
Correct. That's right. Now, for your lesson in riding, I'd like to have Trigger come up and help me. Whoa, 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 boy, whoa, Trigger. What we need around here is a hitching post.
Yeah, well, don't look at me.
Now, class, this is a standard type horse with the head on the front.
Yes, sir.
This is a saddle, and this is a saddle horn.
A saddle horn?
Yes, to be used only in passing other horses.
I see.
The saddle is held on by this band, which is called...
The belly band.
Watch your language. There's Easterners present.
Oh.
Yes, but look here. On which side of the horse do you put the gangplank?
Oh. You mount the horse from the left side, understand?
Righto. Oh, left.
It is... Well, it's very important to know your horse thoroughly. Now, I have Trigger so well trained that I can turn around on a biscuit without cutting the crust. Can you do that, Charlie?
No, sir, but I can turn on a donut without slipping in the hole.
Well, I will now mount the horse.
Oh, goody.
Steady, Trigger. Steady now. Yeah. I am now on the horse.
Hooray!
Say, what happened to Trigger's head?
Teacher, you're facing the wrong way.
So I am. I will now show you how to dismount. Doggone it, who moved that ladder?
Professor, do you have time to teach us how to rope a calf?
Oh, yes, and I've always wanted to know how to throw a lorgnette, too.
Well, we might take a few minutes out to learn the art of roping and branding calves.
Yeah, Noble, you can be the cow, huh?
Oh, me a cow?
Yeah.
Oh, my dear boy, that's utter nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, very well, very well. Moo, moo, and all that sort of bovine rot, you know.
I reckon we ought to fatten this critter up a bit.
Oh, we ain't got time. Start swinging your lasso.
All right, I swing my rope like this.
Yeah?
There, I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Ouch, good,
oh, no.
Good.
Now I tie all 4 feet together like this.
Yeah.
Stop, you're wrinkling my suit.
Oh, that's all right.
Let's see now, what kind of a brand shall we put on?
Well, Jason Sanborn, that's standard brand.
All right.
Be sure and listen in next Sunday when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble, Anita Gordon, and Pat Patrick will welcome as their guest, Jane Wyman. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chasen Sanborn, the coffee with shape-grown flavor. Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers can soon be seen in their first color picture, Republic's Apache Rolls. They can also be heard on new radio program, Alka-Seltzer's Saturday Night Roundup, over these same stations. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from the Pasadena Playhouse, Pasadena, California. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Charlie McCarthy Show, January 26, 1947. Special guest, Roy Rogers. You heard Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snert on that, and Kent Carpenter doing the announcing for Chasen Sanborn Coffee, Bluebonnet Margarine. That's heard on NBC. If you were spinning the dial or listening to the radio and heard a classic radio show, heard Edgar Bergen, and you're wondering, what is this show I'm listening to? Well, we've been here 38 weeks. here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. We have 3 hours on Sundays. We're here from 11 till 2 in the morning. They've doubled our time. We're now here Saturday and Sundays. Saturday, the same time, 11 p.m. on Saturday till 2 a.m. Sunday morning. So you get 6 hours of these classic radio shows. And my co-host, Lisa Wolf, is not here this morning. She's on vacation. She'll be back here next week. Pitch hitting for her is our executive producer, Mike Costella. You don't sound anything like Lisa, though, Mike.
No, not at all.
No. And that's probably good.
Yes.
It's probably a good thing. Dan Long, our producer, is here with us and making sure these shows go on the air. These radio shows, we're broadcasting on WGN, and it airs across the country from Chicago. It's crazy when you think about it, the power of this station at night. And we get calls from all over the place. In fact, our winner for the Cat's Pride Kitty Litter Contest was from the Bronx, New York.
The Bronx, New York. Ram, yeah. From the Bronx, New York, and his cat, Kitty Baby.
Kitty Baby. Yeah. I mean, we get these Cat's Pride photos of people's cats from all across the country because this station airs all over the country. It's really great. In fact, in parts of Canada, you can hear this station, and we just love it. The WGN Radio Theater airs practically coast to coast because of the power of the station. Let's take a break, then it's more here on WGN. Time for Hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater with Mike Costella, my executive producer, pitch hitting for Lisa Wolf, who's on vacation. She'll be back next week. She wants all of her fans to know she'll be back next week, right?
Definitely.
I hope so.
Her fans want her back next week.
We want her back. We all want her back. She's a lot of fun. She's a blast to do the show with. She can take a lick and keep on ticking.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. She takes it. We give her fun, a little razzing, right? She's like one of the guys. Right?
She sure
Dan,
is. Yeah.
She can take it.
Yeah, she can.
There's the three of us guys here. We give her a fun little ribbing, but she's great at it, man. She can handle it. And she gives it right back. She dishes it right back.
Yeah,
she's
she
tough.
Does.
She's pretty tough. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want to have a boxing match with her because she works out. She's got she doesn't work out as much as Dan Long. She doesn't work out as much as Dan. Dan hits the weights, man. Dan works out.
It's been a lazy couple of weeks.
Has
been a
it?
Bad December for me.
Really, hasn't?
Yeah, it's holidays.
You know?
You're supposed to put on some weight during the holidays.
Right.
And now that the cold is coming,
you'll feel
a little bit warmer.
I tell you what, man. I got to get back into the gym. I've just been doing this show and doing a bunch of other stuff, and I've just been... I have a membership to Lifetime Fitness. And it's like $67 a month. I see it, $67, and I don't go.
Haven't used it, huh?
No, I haven't been using it.
Ah, you used to. I remember you used to hit the swimming pool.
I know. I haven't been doing it. I don't know. I got to get motivated. You know what? New Year's coming, right? New Year's is coming. It'll be my New Year's resolution. I'll go one time every 6 months.
There you go. That sounds easy
so
enough.
So it'll only cost me like $350 to go swimming. Once every 6 months,
you're
something
donating
like
donating to the gym.
Not bad. All right, in this hour on the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to tune into a terrific Western detective adventure of Tales of the Texas Rangers, so you won't want to miss that. We're going to give away a Lightkeeper Pro. A Lightkeeper Pro. It's your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. You can watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com. We're going to give one of these away right now. When we play our segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
All righty, Cat's Pride is one of our sponsors here on this radio show, the WGN Radio Theater. We sure do appreciate Cat's Pride. Now, this Academy Award-winning actor stars as a poor farmer from Mississippi who leads a group of rebels against the Confederate Army in the soon-to-be-released Civil War drama, The Free State of Jones. All right, so this actor in 2011 starred in a crime drama called Killer Joe.
He doused his genitals with lighter fluid and he set them on fire. You believe that? It's true.
All right, give us a call, 312-981-7200, if you know who that celebrity is. We'll be back after this. All righty. This Academy Award-winning actor stars as a poor farmer from Mississippi who leads a group of rebels against the Confederate Army in the soon-to-be-released Civil War drama The Free State of Jones. And Charlie in Chicago says he knows who this is. Do you know who this celebrity is, Charlie?
I believe it's Matthew McConaughey.
You're exactly right, which means you are going to win a Lightkeeper Pro. Sound good?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Lightkeeper Pro. You can watch a video on the Lightkeeper Pro at lightkeeperpro.com. Charlie, thanks for calling in. We sure do appreciate you listening, and I want to remind you that we're here Saturday and Sunday nights beginning next week, okay? So tune us in both nights if you can.
I will certainly try, and I'm excited. I heard earlier that you'll be starting Saturday's show also, so that's double the fun.
Well, I appreciate you, Charlie. Thanks for tuning in. Tell a friend about it. We're here Saturday and Sundays, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. beginning next week. All right, it's time now for Tales of the Texas Rangers. This is a great series. My pal Stacy Keach, who was the host of my Twilight Zone radio drama series. We also did some Mike Hammer radio dramas with Stacy. He also appeared in a lot of my audio Bibles. He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy, great friend, great actor. His dad, Stacy Keach Sr., created this series. It was a modern Western, and like its predecessor, Dragnet, Tales of the Texas Rangers adapted actual police case files. And Texas Ranger Jace Pearson was portrayed by Joel McRae. It was present day, and Pearson used the latest scientific techniques to identify criminals, and it was a terrific series, as I say, produced by Stacy Keach Sr. It ran from 1950 to 1952. We're going to enjoy an episode right now. This is from September 2nd, 1950. It's called Play for Keeps. It stars Joel McRae. Here's part one of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Presenting Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in NBC's parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Tonight's case, Play for Keeps.
At 5 minutes past midnight on December 12th, several years ago, Sheriff Bob Smithers of Bradshaw County, Texas, staged a raid on a gambling establishment located on a country road. But there were no patrons in the house, and the sheriff's face grew dark red as he and the local constable failed to find any evidence.
There's nothing in the upstairs room either, Sheriff.
You're sure of that, huh, Jim?
Not even a deck of cards.
See, Sheriff, like I told you, I quit the racket. Yet this is the fourth time this year you rousted me out of bed.
I know you're operating, Walton, and I'm going to get you for it. You're not going to milk the citizens of this county, not while I'm sheriff.
Look, Sheriff, this happens to be my house. Warrant or no warrant, you finished your business here. How about getting out?
I guess we might as well go, Sheriff.
No, Jim. We're going to stay a minute. I want to talk to Walton and you.
About what?
I was sure of this raid tonight, Jim. Dead sure. Just like I've been sure the last three times, because only you and me ever knew about them. I didn't tell nobody but you, Jim. You, the constable.
Sounds like he's accusing you of tipping me off, Dunn.
I know he tipped you, Walton.
You better watch what you're saying, Bob.
All that talk about law and order and wanting to uphold him. Let me see your wallet, Jim. Take it out and let me see it.
Now, wait a minute, Sheriff.
You shut up. Come on, Jim. I want to see if you're carrying the kind of money an honest man gets for being a peace officer.
What I carry on me is my own business.
Why, you cheap two-bit snake.
Nothing cheap about a few hundred once in a while. Be smart, Sheriff. Get a few for yourself.
Why don't you listen to him, Sheriff? He's talking sense.
Come on, both of you. I'm taking you in.
You can't make anything stick.
Maybe not. But I'm going to make this county too hot for both of you. I'm going to run you out of it.
Keep your hands off me, Sheriff.
You're under arrest.
Grab him, will you?
I got it.
Now, just hold him, fool, while I get his gun.
I got it.
There. Now.
Done. You killed him.
No. You killed him. You grabbed his gun and killed him. He was after you, Walton. I got a gun of my own, and I'm the constable.
You set me up for a frame?
Not necessarily, Walton. It's up to you. His body could be moved out of here.
What's your play? What do you want?
No more chicken mash. 50% of your take, and you can go right on operating.
With him dead, you crazy fool?
You're forgetting something, Walton. I'm top dog now, and investigating this murder will be my job until a new sheriff is appointed. But I don't think I'm going to be able to solve it.
The body of Sheriff Smithers was found the next morning, dumped in a ditch by the side of an old wagon road. During the next few days, Constable Jim Dunn conducted a seemingly honest but fruitless investigation, even following the efficient peace officer's routine of making use of the state lab facilities at Austin. But citizens of Bradshaw were not satisfied, nor was the editor of the Bradshaw Times. Clippings of his editorials were on file with Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers, and the captain sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
You want to see me, Captain?
Yeah, Jace, sit down. There's no acting sheriff appointed by the court of Bradshaw County here, Jace. I think you better take over.
About the killing of Sheriff Smithers?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to. I knew Smithers.
See, that's right. You worked with him about 5 years ago.
When he first took office. Cleaned that county up in 3 months and cleaned it good.
Well, it doesn't look like it stayed clean, Jace. Not according to this editorial clipping from the Bradshaw Times.
I've read it.
It's going to be a tough one, Jace. No clue to the killer, and the trail has had a couple of days to cool off.
Well, then I better get going before it gets any cooler. You'll hear from me.
Jace?
Yeah, Captain?
I just want to remind you, whoever did it doesn't hesitate to kill a man wearing a badge.
I reached Bradshaw in the early morning. The town was waking up, and the Bradshaw Times was turning out its bi-weekly edition. I went in to see the editor, Frank Carlin.
So you read my editorials, huh? Well, I'm glad to know somebody's reading.
Yeah, you got readers, all right. People have been clipping them out and mailing them into our headquarters.
Yeah, I guess there's always a handful of people to hold out. Wonder what the world would do without them. Everybody was so burned the day of the killing. Then in 48 hours, they want to forget it.
Yeah, it's always that way. How about the constable, Jim Dunn?
Oh, he's all right, I guess. But he's only been constable for a year. He just doesn't have the experience. It'll take the court a couple more days to decide on a new sheriff. I better knock out a story on you rangers coming in. Might wake the people up again.
I'd rather you didn't, Mr. Carlin. I'll be around, and they'll know soon enough.
Oh, see what you mean. Want me to lay off the editorials for a while?
If you don't mind.
You know, Sheriff and I are on different sides of the fence politically, but he was an honest man, and I liked him. I got a headline back there, all set and gathering dust. It says, Sheriff's Killer Caught. Ranger, give me a chance to use it.
I found a place to park my horse trailer and put charcoal in a pasture. Then I headed for the constable's office and met Constable Jim Dunn.
They're all the reports in my investigations, Ranger. If you think I haven't done a good job, maybe those will change your mind. I even checked ballistics with the Austin lab.
My being here isn't a criticism of you, Mr. Dunn. I'm here because I was sent until a new sheriff is appointed and to give you help.
I've done everything possible. I've questioned almost 100 people. I've checked alibis on more than a dozen possible suspects. It's all there.
Yeah. Everything's here. Everything except the murderer. And that's the only thing I'm interested in seeing, Mr. Dunn. A little cooperation between us might clean it up.
I'm sorry I blew, Ranger. It's been getting under my skin. This murder could have been committed by anybody. Some bum from a hobo jungle, some drunk, anybody.
We can't arrest anybody. We've got to arrest somebody. Somebody definite. Now, exactly where was the body found?
Old wagon road, bypasses town, about 2 miles north.
Is it fit for a car?
Yeah, but you got to go roundabout to get to it, almost 11 miles. You won't find nothing there, though.
I like to take a look anyhow. Can't we cut cross-country on horses?
Yeah, shorter, if you want it.
I want to. My horse is in a pasture. I'll meet you at the edge of town in 5 minutes.
The body was found just a little further on. You can see the road now.
Not much of a road left.
No use for it anymore.
Sheriff must have had some reason for using it if he came way out here.
Hey, here we are. Oh, boy.
Oh, whoa, charcoal. Oh, boy.
And Sheriff's car was found right over here by the side of the road.
Where was he?
Lying right beside it. Been dead about 7-8 hours when he was found.
Who found him?
Cowpoke, looking for some strays.
That's lucky. Otherwise, the body might have been here for a few days or even weeks before somebody came across it.
Yeah.
You get pictures of the position of the car and the body?
Of course I did. Anything else?
Yeah, any exhibits, casts of footprints, anything like that?
No. When I got the call, I brought a bunch of men out with me. I was excited, and I didn't think to stop them from tramping around.
I can see why you'd be upset. Well, if there was anything to find, it's a cinch it isn't here now. Weather would have wiped it out if your men hadn't.
You want to go back to town?
Yeah. I want to look at the car.
Get up.
How about the exhibits from the sheriff's body?
I sent the bullets and the gun in. Your lab checked it. Verified it was the sheriff's own gun.
I'm talking about the clothes he was wearing. You got those, haven't you?
Sure I got them. I got all the evidence there was.
You should have sent it all in. I want to look at that stuff, too. Well, let's step it up. Come on, Charlie.
Yeah. Get up!
There's everything, all tagged. Everything the sheriff was wearing when he was killed.
I see. And this the shirt he was wearing?
You see the blood and bullet holes, don't you?
Yeah.
How come your lab didn't find any prints on the gun when I sent it in? It
didn't even have the sheriff's own prints. It was wiped clean. Well, this is kind of odd.
What?
Well, the sheriff was shot twice, and they dug one slug out of him. The other one passed clean through.
Yeah, according to the coroner's report, one slug hit his collarbone. That stopped it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The course of the bullets. Both shots fired into the left side, just above the kidney. But the one that came through came out the right side of his shirt collar here, right through his neck.
What about it?
It's a funny course for a bullet to take. Unless the man who fired the gun was lying down and fired up at the sheriff.
Yeah, that's what I figured, too. They must have had a fight for the gun. He got it, but the sheriff knocked him down and...
No, that isn't the way it happened.
How do you know?
Because the sheriff wouldn't half turn his back on a man who'd just taken his gun. Besides, these powder burns show the gun was being held right against the shirt when it was fired.
What do you think happened then?
And the sheriff must have been in some position where he was bent over forward, which he wouldn't be unless somebody was holding him in that position. Here, stand in front of me for a minute. Now, you're back toward me.
What are you going to do?
Slip one hand under your arms and then up behind your head in a half Nelson and twist your other arm behind you in an arm lock. Then bend you over forward like this. The sheriff was held like I'm holding you now. The bullets were pumped into him. See what I mean?
That's just a guess.
It's a guess I'm going to back up. And if the sheriff was held in a half Nelson and an arm lock, it tells us something else. That there were two men in on the murder. Unless the killer had three hands and used the third one to fire the gun.
That's pretty smart figuring, Ranger.
Only because it's the kind of figuring I've been doing for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Are these the photos that were taken at the scene?
Yeah, the sheriff's body and the car.
The car, the body moved any before these were taken?
Nope. Car was right there, with the sheriff flat on his face beside it.
And less than 2 feet away from it. his right side toward the car.
Yeah.
The bullet that passed through the sheriff came out on his right side. That means it should have hit the car. But there's no mark.
I don't see that that helps us any.
It helps plenty, Dunn. It tells us the sheriff wasn't killed out there. He was killed someplace else and brought out there.
You are listening to Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Chase Pearson.
I don't have to say it now. He said it, so I don't even have to say what it is.
Not at all.
Right? But I'll give you the original broadcast date, September 2nd, 1950. And the title of this show is called Play for Keeps. We'll get back to Tales of the Texas Rangers in just a few minutes. Let's take a quick break, and then Mike and I and Dan Long will be right back. That's right. Oh, that's right. Next year, 2016, it's going to be a big year. Big, 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 big year. It's like a big shoe. You know, like how Ed Sullivan used to say, it's going to be a really big shoe. We're going to be here two nights a week, Mike. I'm excited about it.
We are.
Saturday and Sunday nights. So they doubled our time. We're on 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. starting next Saturday, January 2nd. It'll be 2016. We'll start off the year right with Saturday and Sunday broadcasts of this show. You'll get six classic radio shows every single week, and I could not be more excited. I know Lisa's excited, and I know you're excited, and Dan's excited, and we're going to have a lot of fun playing these classic radio shows for our listeners. Check out our Facebook page at WGN Radio Theater, and also check out our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. All right, let's get back to this now. Here's the conclusion of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Now we continue with tonight's case, Play for Keeps, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
I knew that Sheriff Smithers had been killed by two men, that his body had been moved after the killing, but it wasn't nearly enough. It was evening before I figured out my next move, a move I didn't like to make. Evening, ma'am. Remember me?
Why, it's Jace Pearson, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Been a long time, Mrs. Smithers.
Oh, come in, Jace. Come in. I suppose you know about Bob.
Yes, ma'am. And that's why I'm down here. I came by to pay my respects.
Funny thing. First time Bob brought you through that door, I never reckoned you might be back someday, looking for a man who killed him.
I wish it could have been for another reason, ma'am. But Bob kept things working so well here, there seldom was any reason for a ranger to come visiting Bradshaw County.
I know how you fellas keep working along. Can I offer you a bite to eat, please, Jace?
Well, that'd be real fine, Miss Smithers. I knew it might help her and me if she could keep a little busy with her hands doing woman things in the kitchen. And I tried to eat, but kept remembering the man who'd sat across this same table from me 5 years before. Big, honest, stubborn, and unafraid.
It's mighty nice of you to stop by, Jace. Bob would have been happy to see you sitting here again. He always said a man with a good appetite was right with the world.
Ma'am, I guess Jim Dunn has already asked you, but do you have any ideas about who might have killed Bob?
Oh, no. Everything went so well for a few years. All I know is the last year or so, Bob was upset about gambling.
He after anybody in particular?
A man named Walton. Lou Walton has a big house on the South Road out of town. Bob always says it was a gambling house, but he could never catch Walton.
You mean he raided the place?
A couple of times. Last time was the night he was killed.
Dunn didn't tell me about that.
Bob was killed after he left there. Walton's, I mean. Dunn said they didn't find anything, so Bob started back for town. But he never got home.
Mrs. Smithers.
Hmm?
I have to ask a favor. A favor I don't like to ask.
I want to help Jace every way I can.
I want your permission to have Bob's body exhumed for further examination.
Is it necessary?
I'm not satisfied with the examination that was made here.
All right, Jace.
I'd like to have a more thorough examination made for headquarters. I'm sending them the clothes Bob was wearing for lab check, and I don't want anybody to know about it for now.
All right. You're going to get him, aren't you, Jace?
I'm going to try awful hard, ma'am.
Well, howdy, Ranger. I've been waiting for you. Thought maybe you might have turned in for the night.
I'm going to in a few minutes. I just came back to pick up the clothing exhibits.
Well, I locked them away again.
I'll dig them out. I want to send them on to Camp Mabry for lab tests.
Well, all right.
I'll give you a receipt for them.
Okay.
And Don?
Yeah?
In those reports of yours, I didn't see any mention of a man named Lou Walton.
Why should there be?
I understand that Walton's a gambler and that you helped Smithers raid his place the night Smithers was killed.
Now, here are the exhibits. You're thinking way out of line on Walton. His alibi's airtight.
According to who?
According to me. I was with him all night after Smithers left the place.
You didn't come back to town with the sheriff?
No, I stayed at Walton's.
Why?
Because the sheriff asked me to stay there. We didn't find anything, but the sheriff figured if I hung around, somebody might show up or call up looking for a game. And I'd be able to get him some evidence in. Anything else you want to know?
No, I guess that lets Walton out. I'll take these things.
Sure, go ahead.
See you tomorrow, Don.
Number, please.
Oak Hill, 243.
Moment, please.
Hello?
Walton, Don. Now get those people out and shut down.
Why? What's wrong?
That Ranger's too smart. I try to make things look good for myself, and, well, I guess I made him look too good.
How much does he know?
All he's going to know. You just close down and stand pat until he wears himself out.
The sheriff's body was dug up in the examiner's report sent on to Austin. Headquarters also had the exhibits I'd gotten from Dunn. By late afternoon of the next day, Captain Stinson telephoned me long distance.
Got a complete report from the lab, Jace.
Go ahead, Captain.
You were right about the position of the body when the shots were fired. Autopsy report shows the organs were pierced in a manner that would be possible only if the sheriff were bent over forward.
Good. Anything else?
Yeah. That shirt you sent up. Lab thinks Smithers was killed indoors.
Why?
Some lint stuck to the blood and held when it dried. Analysis indicates it comes from a fabric used in expensive carpeting. Violet color.
Thanks, Captain. That may be enough to wind this up. Then you're convinced that Walton was running a gambling joint, Mr. Carlin.
Was and is. I'd swear to it. But nobody's been able to prove it. You know how suckers are. They lose their shirts and keep their mouths shut. Think they're in on a smart thing, and they help the racketeers to cover up.
Then Walton must have been tipped off that he was being raided.
Part of the racket. They pay off and get tipped off.
You ever been in Walton's house?
No.
You know anybody who has been there?
Well, it's no secret the newspaper men gamble more than good for him. My line of type man plays horses, I know. Pete.
I'll be there in a minute. Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy.
Pete, you ever been in Lou Walton's place? Well, come on, I don't stall. Tell the Ranger, it's important.
Well, yeah, I've been there once or twice.
I only want to know one thing. You notice any carpeting in the house?
Carpeting? Oh, sure, the house is like a palace. Wall-to-wall carpet all over the place.
What color?
Well, it's a kind of a purple, I'd say.
How about saying violet?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
You got something, Ranger?
Yeah. I'm going to wake up the nearest judge and get a search warrant for Walton. You better brush the dust off that headline you told me about. I think you're going to get a chance to use it.
I
I was wondering when you get around to me, Ranger. Seems like everybody who wears a badge just loves to poke his nose into my life.
I wouldn't worry about your nose, Walton. If you want to be smart, watch out for your mouth.
I didn't mean anything, Ranger. Just that a man ought to have a little privacy.
And you love the death cells at Huntsville. They're real private.
Well, I always cooperated. The constable, Jim Dunn, he'll tell you that.
I bet he would. Nice carpeting you got here. I like the color.
Yeah, let me get you a drink or something, Ranger. All good stuff. I don't have anything but the best. You know the old saying, the best is none too good.
Walton, there's been a strong cleaning fluid used on a piece of this rug. One spot faded just a little.
Well, I spilled some wine. I had a party one night.
The night the Sheriff Smithers was here last?
No, before that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Nobody was here the night Smithers came.
No, nobody. The constable, he stayed. Stayed most of the night after the sheriff left.
Yeah, so he told me.
Let me show you the rest of the house. Upstairs.
No, thanks. I just want to look at the walls in this room. Sure pretty. You know, at Huntsville, they don't have pretty walls like these. Just cold concrete and steel bars.
What do you keep talking about, Huntsville?
I'll tell you as soon as I stand up on this chair and rip off this new piece of wallpaper.
Don't! You have no right to!
Just looking for this small bullet hole, papered over. Of course, you know that one bullet went right through the sheriff.
The hole was repapered because a heavy picture fell. The nail made the hole.
.38 caliber nail?
I'm
going to have this rug ripped up and sent to my lab, Walton. No cleaning fluid made will wipe out all of a blood trace. Even a drop is enough to hang you.
I didn't do it, I tell you. Dunn shot him. Huh? It was Dunn. Dunn shot him.
Hold your wrists out.
You'll never get those on me.
You bet wrong this time, gambler. Now get up. I'm taking you in.
I took him through town to the county jail. Then I walked over to the constable's office, but Dunn wasn't there. I had to find him quick before he knew I had Walton. I headed back for the jail, and as I turned into the street, I saw something move in the shadows. There was another car, not far from mine, the constable's car, and Dunn was getting into it.
Dunn, wait a minute! Get out of the way, people! Get back, please! Punctured my tires. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 convinced Constable Jim Dunn is subject sought in killing of Sheriff Smithers, Bradshaw County, attempting getaway headed north on State Highway 19 from Bradshaw. Alert Highway Patrol and all units for complete roadblock of area. Order no further radio communication. Subject in Constable's marked car, equipped with shortwave receiver.
We'll do, Unit 10.
Unit 10's car out of commission. We'll attempt to commandeer another car for pursuit. Unit 10, 10-4.
KDXA, Austin.
What happened? Step out of the way, please. Step back, please. Step back. Come on, Charcoal. Let's hope Dunn heard that call. Come on, get up.
Get up! Get up, Charcoal! Come on! Get up!
I had to gamble. The last part of my call had been a plant I wanted Dunn to hear. He'd know he couldn't get more than 15 or 20 miles before he was blocked unless he took some back road, and I'd seen him take a north turn out of town toward the wagon road he'd dumped the sheriff's body on. It was 11 miles for him by car, 2 miles cross-country for me. I raked charcoal all the way, reached the road, and rope-dragged a couple of dead logs across it. We finished just in time. I heard the whine of a car coming over the rise in the rough road as the first glimmer of the headlights stabbed the darkness. I tied charcoal back in the trees and dropped in the brush to wait. This is the end of the road, Don. Don't try backing up. Now you haven't got any tires.
I'm giving you a chance to surrender, Don.
You get your chances, Ranger.
You missed, Don. Now I'm coming around the car to get you. You want to shoot it out? Let's go.
Now, wait a minute. No, Ranger. You don't shoot. Don't shoot. I'll drop my gun. Here. You see? I ain't armed.
Come here.
I ain't armed.
Neither was Smithers when you lifted his gun and killed him with it. Good thing for Texas all constables aren't like you. Come on. Walton's waiting for you at the jail. Looks like you'll be partners again at Huntsville.
The following week, the headlines of the Bradshaw Times read, Sheriff Killers Caught. Though Jim Dunn protested his innocence, Lou Walton's confession and evidence submitted by the Rangers convinced the court of Dunn's guilt. Both were sentenced to life imprisonment at Huntsville.
This is Joel McCrae. In the 125 years since their organization was founded, the Texas Rangers have written many new pages into the history of law enforcement. With only a handful of men and a vast territory, they have never failed to live up to their slogan, first to advance, never retreat. That is the creed a Ranger follows. And they have a belief that was impressed on me by one of their officers, a belief that often brings them victory over tremendous odds. In the words of the Texas Rangers, a man who is wrong can't stand up to a man who is right and keep on coming. Next week, we'll bring you another exciting case taken from the files of the Texas Rangers. Hope you'll be listening. Good night.
Next week, Joel McCrae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McCrae is currently seen starring in the MGM production Stars in My Crown. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. In just 5 weeks, Dennis Day and Judy Canova bring back their two delightful programs in an hour of fun for all on Saturday nights. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, there you have Tales of the Texas Rangers, true crime cases from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McCrae starred as Ranger Jace Pearson on that, a show created by Stacy Keach Sr. That's September 2nd, 1950, Play for Keeps. Is heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break, and then I'll tell you what's coming up next week here on the WGN Radio Theater. All righty, we're back, and next week we are going to be here Saturday and Sunday, so they're expanding our show. We're not only going to be here on Sunday nights from 11 till 2, we'll be here Saturday nights and Sunday nights from 11 till 2, beginning the new year. And let's see, on Saturday, you won't want to miss it, January 2nd, 2016 in the new year. We'll start things off with a New Year's show with Jack Benny, and then it's The Man Called X with Herbert Marshall, and then The Six Shooter with James Stewart. So you get a comedy, an intrigue spy detective show, and then a Western. That's next week here, Saturday night, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. I want to welcome Jim Tirano, who is in for Nick DiGilio. What's up, Jim?
Oh, Rochester.
Yeah.
I love Jack Benny.
Yeah?
In fact, I've got, we talked about before during the break here, you used to work with Chuck Shaden.
Yes,
and
yes.
He used to have a store with all this memorabilia on Addison near Long.
Metro Golden Memories.
And I've got a Jack Benny statue. You know those statues that they have with the big heads?
Sure, bodies? I remember, yeah.
I've got about 15 or 20 of those.
Come on.
So I've got
of all the different ones.
I've got Jack Benny, I've got Jimmy
Groucho.
Durante, I've got three Marx Brothers, I've got the four Beatles, I've got
Oh wow.
Jack Benny, Humphrey Bogart.
I remember Ray Charles. I remember those.
Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
I've got the three honeymooners, Alice, Norton, and then also have a Reggie Van Gleason.
Do you have a Maltese Falcon?
Yes, I
do. Used to sell a Maltese.
Yeah, I have that right next to my Humphrey Bogart.
So you must love the WGN Radio Theater.
Oh,
then.
I mean, I love all old stuff. I am the oldest younger person.
Right.
I'm not young anymore. I can't say the oldest young person, but I am still the oldest younger person that there is. I love all that old stuff. I love trivia.
Yeah, do you watch Antenna TV?
I watch Antenna. Yeah. I was, in fact, WGN on Christmas night had Burns and Allen Christmas.
Sure,
I was watching both of those.
Wow.
I usually am up watching. I love Car 54.
Yeah.
I love Sergeant Bilko. So I'm loving either Antenna or, you know, MeTV.
Isn't that cool? Because, I mean, you, what, in your 30s?
I wish I was in my.
What are you?
I love you. You are my new favorite person.
Come on.
I didn't know you until today, I am in love with you.
30s? Come on.
I don't even want to tell you how old I am. I'm not going to. No.
Well,
that's
all right, so you're a young guy, and you like all this great stuff. And that tells me what we're doing here is not for naught, because these people, you know, it's not just people that remember these shows. They're discovering them today.
In fact, I think Antenna TV is going to do something on New Year's with Jack Benny.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I love Antenna TV. I just love it. So what's on the show tonight?
Well, tonight is the holiday
hangover.
Or this
morning, I guess we should say, right?
Tonight is the holiday hangover show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is that weird little spot between Christmas and New Year.
Right.
Where, you know, the Christmas thing is over, all the expectation, all the excitement, and now it's done. And so now you're like, oh, so now the tree is just there.
Right. It's a lot of work to get to Christmas.
Yeah, and then it's over in 10 minutes.
Right.
So now, you know, we look forward to New Year's Eve because it's another chance to have a little fun. But it's really amateur hour anyway on New Year's Eve. It's a fake holiday. And, you know, you're off of work. Most people are off during this time. They save some time. So you're kind of hanging out. You're kind of a little bummed. In fact, what I'm going to do at 3 o'clock, I've saved one of my presents that I did not open.
Really?
To keep the magic alive.
That was very fortuitous of you to do that.
So I'm going
to
share that with the WGN audience tonight. I will open one of my presents.
Now, who gave you that present?
Well, I'll explain that.
Okay, I'll explain.
It's called the tease.
Here. Okay, all right. You know. Well, I'll be listening.
I know that you can't really interview Jack Benny anymore.
No.
So you can't, you know, get into a conversation, but I can't give away the whole show.
Okay, all right. Very cool.
We're going to have some fun.
Yeah. Any guests this morning?
Well, yes. We're going to be doing something I call the Pop Culture Clubs. We're going to be talking about some pop culture stuff, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, very cool.
Inductees.
Yeah.
And also, now I think I'm not going to get into spoilers, but we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars.
And are you going to be here the rest, not the rest of this week, but are you going to do some more shows?
Yes, I will be here in 3 days or four
days.
Tell
us. Tell us.
I will be on.
I'm going to be listening.
It'll be Elton. My nickname is Elton Jim. I'm a huge Elton John fan. So Elton Jim's Rockin' New Year's Day.
Okay.
So if you think that stuff that happens in Times Square with Ryan Seacrest is fun.
Right.
Wait till you see the train wreck I've got planned.
Now, tell me exactly when you're going to be on so I could listen, Jim.
2 to 5.
2 to 5.
So once again, all the hoopla will be done with New Year's. And now you're sitting around going, now what do I do? I'm wide awake, but it's all done. See, that's. I think they put me in during the times when people are most depressed. So I'm sort of like Radio Xanax.